What's up, people? It's Adam Hunter, and you're listening to the MMA Roasted Podcast. We got a great show today. We have me, obviously. We have Tyler Smith, my man. And we have a great bunch of people lined up. We have Ian King, an awesome fighter who's fighting King of the Cage coming up this Sunday. We also have
Ricky Simone, who is 2-0 in the UFC, who's just murdering it. I like that kid a lot, Ricky Simone. And yeah, so it's going to be a really good show. There's also Devontae Smith, who won his first UFC fight in like 30 seconds. He just crushed somebody. Yeah. So it's going to be great. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal in California, and there's no reason to leave your house to get it. Okay, they deliver. They got the best edibles, CBD, anything you need, they will deliver. I mean, look, I'm telling you, it's the best weed you can smoke. They will come. They deliver it to you. And mention MMA Roasted. You get $10 off, orders $100 or more. And I love the guy, Gino, who's in charge. He's a good guy. He's a fan of the podcast. He's a fan of MMA. And he's good people. All right? Gino is the man. Speedweed.com. Follow them at Speedweed. So I just got back from Portland. I was in Oregon over the weekend. The shows were great. Portland's like... It reminds me, it has like a little bit of a Seattle vibe, but like just like cool.
I've never been either. I really want to go to Seattle. I mean, it's on the bucket list, you know. Like,
oh, it was great. The crowds were great. I had one thing I put up on Instagram of this like woman. I don't know if you
I
watched
saw the
it.
The heckler.
Yeah, the hecklers. Hilarious. I'm on stage and like there's two lesbians making out the whole time, like hot ones too. Which like try doing your job when like lesbians are just in front of you,
yeah,
just making out the entire show.
Can't do it.
And then there was like a bunch. There was like lesbians at every table. So I was like, who promoted this show? Like the WNBA or something. So I point to a girl and then I go, you too? And she's like, I am not a lesbian. Just because an eagle has no hair, a man has no hair, doesn't make him a bald eagle.
Yeah. Which
I was like, okay.
Is every bald man an eagle?
I was like, okay, Yoda. I don't even know what that even means, but I kind of understood what she was saying. And then she's like, blah, 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 blah. And then it was something. I go, listen, okay, fine, you're not a lesbian, but you have short hair, you're just like jacked, and you're with another girl, and there's women around you making out. Yeah. Just because if I have a shirt that says Ireland and a hat that says Ireland, you would assume I was drunk. And then then she starts laughing, and I go, but then you'd be like, are you drunk? I'd be like, it's because I'm a hairless cat, doesn't make me a pussy. Used her words against it. It was just hilarious. So that was cool. And then Paige Van Zandt and her husband came, Austin.
Nice. I saw the picture.
Yeah, Austin's a good dude, and Paige is awesome. Paige is so pretty that I couldn't even like look at her for more than 3 seconds.
You're because like, oh,
I'm like staring at Austin the whole time. Like, he probably thinks I'm like into him.
Yeah.
That is one beautiful woman, Paige Van Zandt, and very sweet.
I know. She seems like a super cool girl.
Super cool. Yeah. It's very, very cool. I was happy that she won her fight. Austin signed with Bellator. And that kid,
very nice.
He's gonna be good. He's good already, but I can't wait to see how he is.
Is he a little guy?
Is he what?
Little guy, 45er?
No, he's 170.
Oh, he's a 70.
I'm pretty sure. I'm here right now with my baby. I think is there a bottle next to you? Oh, to your there.
There is.
I think she might be a little hungry. She keeps reaching for the microphone. I think she wants a. Okay, so here we go. Yes, and then
magic.
Then the week before we had a practice on Saturday, and I told you, my friend Brian is training for a middle school, for a wrestling tournament. And my friend Brian, he's a comedian, Brian Swanhart. I love him. So the week before, me and you just beat him up. This time, he took me down with a move that I showed.
That low single?
No, I showed this like slide by, and he actually hit it on me. And I took him down and pinned him in 3 seconds, but then he did it on me. Mad, and I was like,
all right, Brian.
Yeah, so I was actually happy for him, but I was like, I was so out of shape. On the way driving home, I was coughing, like, like I had like a like my wife. I got home, she's like, "What happened?" I'm like, "She's like, are you okay?" I felt like I was going to die, and then I was beating myself up the whole time for getting taken down, and then I had to give myself the excuse. Well, he goes every day. I don't wrestle anymore, but it's just hard, you know, like.
Yeah,
the things
I've been
you,
there.
The things you got there. Away with when I was younger, I'll get away with speed, my quickness.
Yeah.
You know, when you're older, I can't do that outside low single shot that I used to be able to hit it and people would sprawl. I'd be behind them already.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Now people sprawl on me. And it's just, they always say like your speed's the first to go. And that's true.
Yeah, speed's first to go, and then cardio, I'd say, and then power.
Yeah, but it was still good for me. I mean, I got to do more of that, more wrestling, more jiu-jitsu. That was fun. And then so that was cool. And then Vince came to my show in Portland.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He brought a guy that looked like just like Charles Manson.
Yeah, he brought the big beard.
Yeah, he brought some
big beard.
Some guy that didn't laugh the whole time, sat in the front, looked like he was a serial killer.
Look like a serial killer.
So I was asking him, like, where are the bodies? How many people do you have buried?
And he's just staring at you.
Staring at me. Vince is dying. Vince is crying, laughing at his own friend.
How does Vince know him?
Well, I guess they have a mutual buddy who owns a huge, like, weed farm out there.
Okay.
And he wants to hire Vince to be, like, his, like, product ambassador.
Oh, that's right. He was talking about that last time.
And then the guy that, like, Charles Manson was like the grower, and he looked like he like was born in like the fields. You know, he had like a real Ted Bundy thing.
He's probably just smoked so much that it's like in one ear out the other.
Yeah, totally.
Or in one ear and just floats.
But they were super nice, super cool. So that was fun. How was your weekend?
It was good. What did I do this? I was supposed to compete. I ended up. I was fixing my buddy's car with him. He needed to change his spark plugs, which should be a 10-minute job. And we open up the hood. I get the tools, like the socket out, get the first one out. Next one's stuck, so I move on to the third one, get that one out. Fourth one's stuck. So I start working on these things, snap the fucking extender, like the socket extender, like a piece of metal snapped in half from a spark plug.
Wow.
Being too tight. So we went to the store. Anyways, time got away from us. And I didn't end up competing, but my buddy's kid turned one, or he's turning one in a couple days. So it was his birthday party. So I went down to Orange County and, did the 1-year-old birthday thing.
Nice.
And then helped him clean out his garage all day on Sunday.
That was fun. You're a good friend, man. Everyone needs a friend like you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, man, I'd rather just spend time with people that I love. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, like, if I'm helping out my friend do something, like, that's time well spent. What else am I going to be doing? Fucking smoking weed and watching TV?
More people need to be like you. Speaking of which, my baby, I've been taking her to practice and putting her on this, like, carrier thing, and she's loving it. I can't really show any moves. Thank God we're at the point of the season where now it's like I can just tell them what to do, and then they're fine. We have one more match today, and then we have our big tournament Saturday. Super excited about that. I feel good about it. I know the other coach, they're going to try to, because, in middle school, we don't have weight classes in middle school. It's like they lump all the kids together, and then they kind of like,
the weight classes,
and I have a feeling what this guy is going to do, because he's known for either having his kids cut weight in middle school or cheating with the weights or just being an overall bad guy. Picture like the bad guy in the Karate Kid, but not the cool bad guy anymore. like back in the day, the bad guy.
No, Billy Zabka.
Yeah, times 100. And then that's what we're dealing with. I have a feeling he's going to try to put all our best kids in the same weight class. And then...
Yeah, probably. So, well, he wanted to... He came up to me at the meet last week, and he was like, can we get these weigh-ins done now so we don't have to worry about it on Saturday? I'm like, what? So your kids can gain 15 pounds? Like,
either that, it's always something. But if he does that, we're going to have to figure out what kids do we want to bump up. And that's always I always have an issue with that, because do I bump up the better kid because he's got a better shot of winning, or do I put the better kid in the weight class he's supposed to be because that's his weight class?
I would say that.
Bump
you
up.
You know, the kid, like the ones that were really concerned about winning and like keeping the record, we have like, there's different levels even on our team.
Yeah.
There's kids that really care about winning, keep them in their weight class.
Right. That's what I think.
If they really care that much.
Or
give them the option.
Yeah.
If they want to wrestle up, they can wrestle up. But, I mean, in my opinion, at middle school, it doesn't really make that big a difference. 15 pounds really is not.
Well, so it'll be 5'10". It won't be 15. 15 is still too much. Now, I do got to say, let's talk about some of the fights over the weekend. Bellator.
Woo!
Now, listen, first of all, let's talk about Aaron Pico. I've been saying this for a while, that this guy fights so dumb. He's such a good wrestler. He was touted as one of the best in high school, if not the best in high school. People were saying he tried out for the Olympics.
Training at the Olympics?
Yeah, he didn't go to college. Yeah. Went to the Olympic Training Center. People said that was a mistake, this and that. and he doesn't use his wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's insane to me.
Well, because, not only does he not use his wrestling, but he fight. I mean, what is he, 20? He's
21, 20, yeah, yeah.
He fights like a 20-year-old. Like, he's got, he still has something to prove to people. Like, he has to prove he's the best in the world, so everything has to be spectacular. So he just, I feel like it's just a little bit of discipline.
You well, know, it's just crazy, though. Maybe it was like the lack of college wrestling, but it seems like the guys who did really good in college wrestling, the guys like Chad Mendez or Chael Sonnen or yeah. Ben Askren or even the Faber, you could talk about Lance Palmer. Let's talk Bubba yeah. Jenkins. These other guys, when they first came to MMA, they were just like, get the experience, get the be right. comfortable.
Right, right.
Then it like after 8 or 9 fights, then let's turn into a striker.
But the difference is between them and Aaron Pico is Aaron Pico is not getting those 8 or 9 fights. Aaron Pico is immediately in the spot, his debut, like, oh, this is the savior of MMA. This is the Jesus Christ of Bellator. Like, at 20 years old, how are you supposed to handle that?
No, but also the problem
with
also
no
is
fight, no professional fight.
And you have Freddie Roach, and I love Freddie Roach. I know Freddie Roach. He's a great boxing trainer. But he's going around saying Aaron Pico could be a pro boxer. Aaron Pico could be sparring with Miguel Cotto to get ready. Aaron Pico's got a future in boxing. And I think that, you know, Freddie,
he probably could.
But I think,
but it's,
no,
he's
I don't
not th- boxing right now.
I don't he's know. Not. I'm not sure if he can do that.
So
I
when
mean,
you bring that boxing mentality into MMA, you get smoked.
But I also think that Freddie has like another, he has a thing of like MMA fighters, how he thinks that their boxing skills are the same that they were 10 years ago. Like, he thinks a decent boxing in MMA is going to just wipe out the whole division. And it's not the same as it was. People yeah. have evolved.
Well,
box.
Yeah. Oh, the for
other
sure.
Guy, the other
for sure.
The guys like Henry Corrales and other guys, their boxing's up to par.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're a good boxer in MMA, great. But it doesn't mean that you're just going to clean everybody out in boxing. I mean, he needs to get away from, I think, I hate to say it, but get away from Wild Card Gym and go to a, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what
he, I mean,
people
he's at Training Lab. He's with TJ Dillashaw
yeah.
and Juan Archuleta. And, you know, there's tons of guys down there.
Yeah.
So he's had a good camp. He's getting the work he needs. That's why I'm saying it's just, there's something, it's a mindset thing.
But it's a coach like, thing too. Got, I mean, but his coach has to say, listen, we're not going to just go for the takedown.
Yeah.
Let's get to, they're not going to stop your takedown.
Well, for all intents and purposes, though, he was winning that fight.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was beating the shit out of him and he got caught. So it's like, it's not a question of, does he need to be wrestling more? It's a question of like,
no, but he said he needs to wrestle more.
Sit with your hands down while you're in the clinch.
But he said it. Yeah. But he did say, I need to be wrestling more. That's what he said.
Yeah. I think that also plays into that, the grind. You know, like, I'm not wrestling, you can't stop and pause for a second. You know, MMA, you get breaks. Jiu-jitsu, especially, you get breaks where you're safe and you can just, all right, I'll just sit here for a
second.
That's
what I always tell the wrestlers. You can't stop. You know, when you take a shot where there's a bad shot and you sit there for 3 seconds going,
yeah.
Oh, what should I do? You're fucked.
Yeah.
It's
just got to
the one
be
who
go,
stops
go, go,
moving
go.
Is usually the one who loses, mm-hmm. Especially with scrambles, which is 90% of wrestling.
Yeah.
Then Fedor, I mean, look. I like, obviously, Fedor is a legend. We're talking mm-hmm. about a guy that beat Mark Coleman, what, twice? Beat Krokop, beat Kevin Randleman.
Beat
you know, beat everybody. But what are we doing here? First of all, Chael Sonnen should have beaten him. He had like six different chances.
If Chael didn't try to Leandro Lowe, he would have
beaten
him.
It really should have been Chael versus Brian
Chael
Bader.
And Bader, yeah.
And Bader, I mean, he's 13-1. Like, Anthony Johnson hit him into a 13-fight winning streak. That's how hard Anthony Johnson hits.
Yeah.
I mean, his last loss was to Anthony Johnson. Now, I do think that Phil Davis beat him twice. But you could argue, right, no one else remembers him either. They're very easy to forget. I don't want to see Fedor again. And maybe Golden Boy MMA, I'll probably watch it if they put him against Tito Ortiz or Chuck Liddell.
Or Krokop too.
Yeah, a Krokop. Well, no, now that's the thing also is that are they testing in Bellator? Because there's been one guy that I've ever heard fail a test was Mike the Marine Richmond, which a Marine fails a drug test. But everybody, surprise, I don't think surprise. They've ever, nobody's ever failed a test in Bellator.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I think it's probably a little looser. Do they use USADA?
No.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean,
yeah,
there you go.
So, but I'll tell you who I was not impressed by, and I liked the guy when I hung out with him, AJ
Agazarm.
Yeah, I like that guy. He's a cool guy.
I mean, he definitely has gotten a well deserved bad rap because he's, you know, like he puts on. He probably is a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably is a nice guy, but he tries. You know, everybody's trying to be Conor now, so he tries to, in his own way, be that like bad boy punk, and it's just like. I don't know what the rooster flaunting was.
Well, was the doing, thing
like,
is... It,
and why that guy didn't just teep him in the face. Like, what the fuck are you thinking, dude?
Well, the thing is also is that he's a great wrestler. He wrestled for Ohio
yeah,
State.
He's an amazing wrestler.
Under Tom Ryan.
Yeah.
Tom Ryan. And he's amazing. I guess he's a world
really
champion
good
in jiu-jitsu. But his striking...
But it's one of these things. Like, I mean, you could say the same thing about Dylan Danis in his Bellator debut. That striking was garbage.
Well, but also he's been hanging out with the Diaz brothers drunk all the time
on the
Instagram, and dude, this is the big league, man.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you go up against a guy 0-0, that's dangerous because you don't know how good or bad that guy is.
Yeah. And he's like, you have a name, he doesn't.
Yeah.
So he's going to try to beat your ass.
And I don't know what he was doing after the fight celebrating like he just won the belt. Like that was not And how did he not get the rear naked choke? He had it.
I don't know.
Do you think it's gloves? You think it's
the gloves? Definitely have something to do with it. It's a weird adjustment in the gloves because you can't slide the same way, you can't grip the same way. They're big, so they just get in the way of stuff, and it's easier to defend. You can just hold the glove instead of worrying about the hand. You wrap around the glove, and you're pretty much safe.
The other guy was good, the WWE guy. I mean, I don't know how good he is, but that's...
I didn't watch that one.
Everyone's like, who's this guy who's fighting? But it's his first fight ever. What do you want to do? You want to put him in there against... I mean, only Brock Lesnar seems to fight Frank Mir.
That is the thing I do like about Bellator, is that they will take a guy that's 0-0 and put him on TV, just like, all right, here's your shot, dude.
Really? You do like that?
Yeah, I like it. Why not?
I do, but then they like put him on after Juan Archuleta, who's... won 20 fights in a row. So
the arguably best fighters
like, so,
ever.
I mean, like, I think a guy like I know Juan Archuleta, you know Juan Archuleta, but Juan Archuleta is not being...
Oh, he's not being marketed like he should be.
Yeah.
Not even close. Like, that's a superstar. His fights are entertaining. He's good. He's like undefeated, right?
Or like he's lost 20 one. And one. I think he lost a split decision.
Lost one. He was a four division champion in King of the Cage. Four divisions.
Yeah.
Like the kid's an animal.
That's the problem I have with Bellator is that they won't put him on, but they'll put that hot blonde on the boxer chick, who clearly should not be there. I forgot they have this hot blonde girl that like I don't even know her name. She's a good boxer. But yeah, don't fall for that, dude. He's my dog always does help. That. I know.
Suit yourself, Miles.
That's how he is. It's like he's bitten so many
people. Sorry, Miles.
He looks at you like, please help me.
Yeah.
And then he tries to bite you when you help him. He's like an old man. All right. We're calling Ian King, who's started off his career 1-2, and has won 3 fights in a row. This guy, like, you meet him, you think he's like McLovin. He has this like he doesn't seem like a fighter, and he's just a little badass. All right, so 1, 3, yeah. So here we go, boom. All right,
Milwaukee, Oregon, huh?
Yeah,
Milwaukee with an I.
All right, where am I? Is this plugged in? Hello. Hello, Ian Kidd.
That's me. How's it going, Adam?
Good. How are you doing? Nice to... Hold on one second. I was getting the sound together. Here we go. Boom. All right. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello, Ian? Ian?
Hello?
Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Ian?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So we're talking to Ian Kidd. How are you, man?
Oh, doing good, dude. Just on that fight week, working, and go cut a little weight here in a couple hours and getting ready to go for this weekend.
Nice. So this week you're fighting in King of the Cage, right?
Yep, King of the Cage Headhunter out at the Chinook Winds Casino in Lincoln City, Oregon. Beautiful this time of year.
Nice, nice. Now, I was telling people, like, when I met you, you're like, you're funny, man. You have this, like, McLovin awkward thing going for you. But then you're like a total badass. Very unassuming.
My aesthetic right now, like you saw, my hair is all, like, long and curly. Got the beard. It's kind of like a little, like, Bob Ross starring in Escape from New York, you know? You combine it with, like, facial scarring.
Yeah. But I spent the last couple hours watching your fights, man. Like, you had some great, great fights. I didn't realize you're a brown belt in judo, a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, and you have some very, very slick submissions. One of them, you seem to go from mount to an arm bar really quickly.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I got 10 of my 12 wins in MMA by submission.
Yeah. Now, don't you get nervous, though, when you're in mount and you go for an arm bar that you're going to lose the position and then possibly end up on bottom?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, but, you know, the number one thing I think out there is just being an opportunist, you know?
Yeah.
Like, definitely aren't going to get the arm bar if you don't go for it.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. Now, you were an amateur. You were 13-4 as an amateur. You spent 6 years as an amateur. How come you took so long to go pro?
Well, I was 8-4. 8-4 as an amateur.
Okay.
And I'm 4-2 now as a professional. But I spent a long time as an amateur just because when I started, you know, I didn't really have any skills. I just had my wrestling. I wrestled in high school, and it just took some time, you know. I just wasn't in a rush, you know. I wanted to do it right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're doing it right. You started off your career 1-2. Now you're on a 3-fight winning streak. What do you think the difference has been?
Well, my first loss was against a really, really tough dude. And he, like, caught me out there. And my next one, I just kind of, again, just got caught flat-footed. And I was starting too slow, and I feel. And I just got comfortable because I got some new tools. I got some striking tools that I didn't have before. And I felt like I let it take away some of my urgency out there on my feet, and just remembering to dance with the one that brought you, you know, and go to that wrestling and go to it right away, you know.
Now, yeah. My co-host here is Tyler Smith. He's a badass. He's a Marine. He's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. He's also 0-2, but he's got a fight coming up in about 3 weeks or 2 weeks. Any advice for Tyler?
Oh, I don't know. I just try and stay loose. You know, you want to stay calm. When you're calm, you can make decisions. If you're panicked, you have to, like, orient yourself first. You know, you're tight. And just, like, stay calm and be first. Being first helps a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And good luck, brother.
I've noticed that. Thank you.
Now, some of the people that you you train with, you know, your team includes, so you got Chael Sonnen out there, you got Paige VanZant, you got that girl Lisa that you brought to my show, right? What's her last name?
Lisa Spangler. She's an Invicta.
She's
dead.
Yeah, she's 3-0 in Invicta, and her nickname is like the Depressed Vampire or something. She's got a pretty cool, like, thing about her.
She didn't go with the Strangler Spangler.
I was gonna say she didn't go with Strangler. Like,
Strangler. Yeah, she's a little badass.
And but now, she's got all TKOs though, and
that's hilarious.
Yeah. That's funny. Now, are you the coach out there?
No, I'm not a coach. No, I just I show up and, like, I help out a few fighters with pad work, you know, whenever they want it, because that's just something I enjoy doing. And that's something that helps me too. You know, you get that vision, you see strikes coming at you, kind of develop that, that seeing eye.
Yeah, that I've noticed that definitely helps, like holding mitts and just, you know, you can practice your head movement and your footwork as you're holding mitts, and it's like makes a world of difference.
Now,
definitely. It just helps you be loose with shots coming at you, you know.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to work a day job in Portland? Ian.
Fire Extinguisher Service Center. My boss there is actually a longtime moderator on the underground.
Oh, wait. What are you doing for a job?
I work for a fire protection company.
Oh, nice. So you're like a fireman?
Well, I work on fire extinguishers and like kitchen suppression systems like sprinkler systems.
Nice. Cool. That's cool. So you're working during the day, you're training, or you're training at night. Do you have time? I would think that because you're very awkward, but like funny awkward. I would assume that you would get like a certain type of like crazy girl, like a girl with like dark makeup, maybe some kind of a cutter. What type of women do you usually attract?
When I clean my hair and beard up enough, you know, I'm kind of an every flavor. You know, I do got a varied taste.
I mean,
I guess it's a varied audience, rather.
Yeah, of course. But like Portland, a lot of those girls that came to the show were like super cool. But then there was like some very like some down to earth, but like grungy chicks with like nose rings and like cool like sleeve tattoos with glasses and brown hair, like pretty, but you could tell that they don't take a lot of shit.
Definitely, definitely not big shit takers around here. My girlfriend, she doesn't take any mess for sure. That's fine, you know. I don't offer too much up, so we get along pretty good.
Nice. And how long have you guys been going out for?
Oh, we've been going out for 4 years next month.
Oh, nice. And then no ring or taking it to the next level?
Oh, you know, we like each other so much as it is. I don't think we really feel like we need to get the government involved as a third party. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Amen.
Well, that didn't happen.
Still happy.
With my wife. But yeah, I hear you. So now, who are the guys that you usually spar with? Because you're 145. So do you train with like Ricky Simone?
Yeah, I spar with Ricky a lot. Yeah.
Now that dude hits so hard, right?
Yeah, dude. Key is got to keep that head moving. Because if you don't move it, he'll move it for you for sure.
Oh my, yeah, that dude, he's a beast. He's actually also on this podcast also. Now, your coach, Chael Sonnen, has got to be kicking himself right now because he could have beaten Fedor 6 times during that fight. And I think him and Bader would have been actually a pretty good fight.
I really wanted Chael to win that one for sure. That was it. You know, Chael's just, those guys are big, man. He's like smaller than Fedor. You know, you could see like a size difference in the frame. I definitely, you know, wish it would have gone different, but you know, he felt like he had that body lock. He was trying to roll him and take his back. You know, you got to risk it to get the biscuit, you know?
Yeah, risk it to get the biscuit. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
I just, man, I don't think that's ever something I would pull in no gi. It's just like,
yeah,
for me, too risky. I mean, obviously, I'm not Chael Sonnen, so I have no room to talk. But oh, it was heartbreaking.
Now, what do you think about Khabib today getting fined $500,000 and 9 month suspension? Conor getting fined $50,000, I think 6 months.
Only 9 months if he doesn't do the anti-bullying.
Yeah, the
PSA.
Anti-bullying PSA, right?
Yeah, I wonder if they're gonna like cut in footage of Khabib like making a homeless guy do push-ups for money with his anti-bullying video.
That is hilarious. That you're like my new head writer. That's awesome. that is so funny. I know. What an anti-bullying? Is he just going to show the fight with him and Connor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah, yeah.
Don't be a bully.
Don't do this to people.
Yeah. I know. I like how he has to pay $500,000 for almost punching Dylan Dennis.
A quarter of his purse. That's so insane, man.
Yeah.
I know. It seemed a little steep. I think the 9-month suspension is fair. Obviously, you can't just be jumping the fence and assaulting people in the audience. but like 500,000, that's a lot of money. I definitely seems high if Connor's only getting fined 50.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously there's no excuse, like whatever Dennis like said or didn't say, you just don't do that. But like, to be fair, Khabib is probably on another planet, you know,
or if
like
you're gonna do
I freak
it.
Out when I win fights in like regional show.
Yeah,
like
for
I
sure.
can't even imagine what that would feel like. I can't put myself in his frame of mind.
It's a good point. Now, yeah. Now Austin Vanderford, what's the potential on this kid?
Dude, Austin is headed for the top. He's such a beast. You know, he's really in there. Like, on top of like that athleticism and the natural like gift that he has there. You know, he's a student of the game. He's in there learning new stuff all the time. I just see him getting better and better. You know, the small guys spar before the big guys every week. So, you know, the big guys are the small guys' audience and then vice versa. So I get to see his rounds every week. And, man, Austin, he's a beast. A technician, you know, to go with that athleticism. That's a real dangerous combo.
So all right, so listen. So you're 4-2, king of the cage. How many more fights do you think you have to win to get to a kind of LFA or like the next Bellator, PFL, then maybe even the UFC?
I don't know. I should think one or two like more good wins will have a good show looking at me. You know, the guy I'm fighting this weekend is 4-1, and he's another good local prospect. His name's Isaac Shelton. Shout out to him. And so, yeah, I mean, we're going to be scrapping this weekend. I think an impressive win over him. And maybe one more and a bigger show ought to start looking at me.
That'd be awesome. Now, and what's your nickname?
Oh, I don't have a nickname. I want people to know my real name.
You gotta have a nickname,
that.
Man.
I agree with that.
I mean, you're such a goofy fucking dude, too. You're such a likable, goofy guy. like we gotta think of something. Like,
Burger.
We gotta think of Turd Burger or something. All right, so
Ian Burger King.
So here we go. Ian Kidd, you're Ian King. You're fighting. I call you Ian Kidd, by the way. I have to redo that. It's Ian King fighting this week. Where can people watch it?
King of the Cage puts their event up on Amazon, and they air on MAV TV usually also.
Yep.
I'll put information about where to watch it and stuff on my Instagram page. So people want to hop over there and follow me. It's at @Instagram_King.
Yes, the Instagram King on Instagram, obviously, and also on Twitter. Or are you? What are you on Twitter?
I am at You Don't Want This on Twitter.
You Don't Want This on Twitter. I love it. I like how you're a brown belt in judo. I feel like a lot of people aren't doing judo anymore, you know?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people's first time participating is when I get a hold of them, man.
That's awesome. Well, listen, Ian, best of luck. We're going to be rooting for you. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Hey, thank you very much, man. Thanks for having me. And real quick, if I could just shout out Dean's Greens Dispensary in Portland, Oregon. Just came on board as my first monthly sponsor.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for supporting me, guys.
Congratulations.
No problem. Take care, Ian.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Always.
Thank you, man.
All right. That was Ian King. I like that kid. How funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see him get to the big show.
Yeah.
Put him on the mic.
I mean, the kid's got, you know, kid's he's obviously a smart kid. Brown belt in judo, purple belt in jiu-jitsu. You know, seems to be very aware.
Yeah, that's skill.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, shit. I went to Gokors a couple times. Some of those judo.
Woo!
Fuck. Damn.
That's a different kind of judo too, man.
Really? Why?
Gokors insane.
Well, I like my second
that guy
day
goes hard, dude.
My second day there, they were like, "All right, we're all training for a tournament tomorrow, so it's 2 hours of live rolling." I'm like, "What the
dude, heel then, hooks and wrestling shoes and shit."
Some guy like beats the shit out of me, right? And like I was holding my own, but he was still beating the crap out of me. And then he's like, "This is my first day." I'm like, "Ugh, please tell me you're kidding." He goes, "I'm kidding. My name is Karen, whatever his name is."
Oh yeah,
guy had like 10 fights or something. Karen. Yeah,
Parisian?
Yeah.
Caro Parisian.
No, not Caro Parisian. No. Karen something. It was like, not Caro, but another kid that was like, he's like, "I'm kidding, I'm a black belt." And this, he said like, he used to be in the WEC. And this, I was like, that's who I'm rolling with. But it was fun.
That's funny.
But I actually like those experiences. I like rolling. Like my first day ever, I went up because Mac Danzig. And, you know, like.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like,
that's the beauty of MMA, though. It's like, it's so cool that you can just go down to a gym. I mean, not everybody can, but for the most part, you can go down to a gym and like get to train with the superstars of that sport.
Yeah, yeah. I went to
you
Vegas.
Know? Like,
I went to Vegas to Syndicate, and it was what's his name was teaching Vinny Magalhaes.
Yeah,
and then they're like live rolling, and Vinny's like, "Let's go together, me and you." So I figure, oh, this guy's gonna go easy. Fucking submitted me like six times.
Yeah, it's just
he was nice though. He said I had some. He's like, "You're pretty good on top. I got good top control." It was just from wrestling.
Yeah,
but,
wrestling.
But it was like, I was like, "Damn!" Like I'm going against Vinny Mac. Like,
yeah, like nobody's playing basketball with Kobe Bryant. You know, you're not going to toss the pigskin around with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
but you can go and get the shit kicked out of you by Dominic Cruz down at Alliance.
Like, I was so pissed when I coached up in Brooklyn Poly Prep. There was a kid who actually is now the senator of Staten Island, or like he's a congressman of Staten Island.
Like a representative.
Representative of Staten Island, not senator. But he like he like won his district, and I used to be his wrestling coach. He was one of the best kids I ever coached. He was a kid that like in live, I'd be like, I would just call out the move, and he would hit it live.
And he would just hit it, yeah.
Like against a good kid, but he had a bunch of matches, and in his matches, rather than the other teams wrestle him, they would just throw in the towel. They would just wouldn't have anybody wrestle. And I'm
that's
like,
such chicken
happened
shit,
like four
man.
Or five times.
That's such
and
chicken
I was like,
shit.
So you're telling a kid it's better to like just give up?
Just lose? Yeah.
I mean,
you still lose.
Imagine, like if I played high school against Michael Jordan and he dunked on me,
yeah,
that'd be a story.
Stop.
I'd have a story of that for life. Like, yeah, I got dunked on by Jordan. Like, so you got beat up by Chuck Liddell in a college wrestling
match.
That's fucking awesome.
That's like the hope. Is like, okay, this guy beat the shit out of me. I hope he goes on to like win a belt.
Yeah.
Or like be a Olympic wrestler.
It's fucking,
you know,
crazy. Like, I never understood that. I was like, that's just nuts to me. But what are you gonna do?
People have their philosophies, you know.
That's just a terrible philosophy.
That's a terrible one, but
so
you know, it's your right to hold it.
So this week, some good fights this week. I'm excited. First of all, LFA, Friday night. My man David Michaud's fighting.
Ooh.
Love that guy, the Bulldog. He's awesome. He's fighting in LFA. He's a good guy. He was in the UFC. He walked out to Taylor Swift, by the way. He's the
awesome
one that, like, and he was in Titan FC. He had some great fights. And he's a solid guy. He trains over at the lab. Also, Jared Gooden, who we had on the podcast. And Seth Spavinsky's fighting.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a guy that's
his last fight.
Didn't he got knocked out by, I think Alan Juban knocked him out, right? I'm pretty sure Alan Juban knocked him
maybe
out.
Maybe. Maybe. Let's ask Alan.
Nothing. And then Tim Welch is fighting, also from a lab.
All right.
So that.
Yeah, that's Sugar Sun's coach.
Yes. Yes.
Just got his black belt. Congrats to Tim Welch.
Tim Welch got his black belt?
Yeah.
Really?
It was like a month or two ago.
Under Crouch?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Crouch is like such a...
He's a beast, man.
If you saw Crouch at a bar, though, you wouldn't be like... You'd be like, I could take this guy. Or
half the jiu-jitsu guys.
Right.
If you saw him at a bar. You know, like Ian.
Oh, Ian Harris.
Ian Harris. Like,
yeah.
You would never know that guy would whoop your ass six ways to Sunday.
He looks like Moby.
Yeah. You probably think he was Moby.
Yeah. Have you ever rolled with Ian?
I've never rolled with Ian. I really want to.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, on Saturday, Sun Xiao against Marlon Moraes.
Yes.
That's
banger.
I like Moraes in that fight.
I do like, I mean, he's just, he seems unstoppable. But Sun Xiao is a killer. He's on a, what, six fight streak?
I don't know. I don't know. It's not coming up. But and then Aldo versus Hanato Moicano. He's the guy that beat Cub Swanson, right? I think that was the guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sun Xiao, let's see.
Man, Aldo, if you would have told me like 5 years ago, Aldo destroys Moicano or any version of him, I think.
I mean, yeah, five years ago, Aldo destroys anybody.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, what do you think of this John Fitch, Rory McDonald fight they're making in Bellator?
I'm okay with that.
Really?
Why not? I mean, Bellator seems like they have no rhyme or reason anyway. So it's just, except for this heavyweight tournament, everything else is just like, let's put these guys together.
Well, Fitch did just run through Paul Daly.
Yeah, and Fitch. I mean, Fitch is a great fighter. He's a great fighter. He fell from grace a while ago, you know, in the UFC. But like, he's still a solid MMA fighter. Good ground game, pretty good stand up. Like, it'll be a good fight. I think it'll be a good fight.
Who do you think wins?
Rory, but it'll still be a good fight. Rory's bigger. He's bigger. He's better. He's younger. He's faster.
Ellenberger said he was the most awkward guy he's ever fought. I mean, you look at what Rory did to Tyron Woodley. I mean, that was just, remember? I mean, Rory like made Woodley look bad.
Yeah.
And no one's ever done that. Except for even Nate Marquardt. And even that fight, it was a back and forth battle. Rory's just, but then look at Musasi. I think it was just too big.
Yeah, well, Musasi is a different animal, too. Musasi's stand-up game is insane.
Yeah, look at the Weidman.
Like, he's insane.
Weidman couldn't hold him down.
No.
Weidman's a four-time, like, All-American.
Yeah, and he just gets up, and then he kicks your face off. So, it's like, that's a tough fight for anybody.
That was a tough fight. That's
a tough fight for anybody. I'd like to see him in pure kickboxing.
Musasi?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see him in, like, Joe Schilling.
Joe Schilling, that guy. I love watching Joe Schilling, but like, I don't know what you don't know what's gonna happen with that guy.
Yeah,
I still can't believe he smokes cigarettes like in between rounds and shit.
Dude, he smokes like a pack a day or some stupid shit.
That's fucking.
Like, how does he have lungs?
What's bad about people like that is like they do it, and then everyone else thinks they can do it.
I can do it. Yeah,
it's kind of like Eddie Bravo smoking weed. Like, like everybody. I went to 110th Planet class, and the kid was like a wrestler, and he was like high as fuck and just getting the shit beaten out of him, and it was
that's
like,
hilarious.
I'm like, dude, you can't just like smoke pot and think that you're gonna get superpowers. Like,
I mean, I do, but that's after what, 8 years in, and like you have your basics. See, that's how I feel. Like, once you have your basics down and you know what you're doing, then start playing around. You know, smoke a little and then go to practice and see what you can come up with. But like, if you're a white belt. Bad idea.
Well, just certain people can just get away. Like Bubba Jenkins used to say how he like smoked weed before wrestling matches and stuff.
Yeah,
like Bubba Jenkins can do it. Like Joe Schilling can do it. But they fool you into thinking that you can do it too.
Yeah.
I've never had that kind of talent where I can get away with any type of bad habit, even whether it be smoking weed before comedy shows or before auditions. Like, I just can't.
You can't smoke before a show?
No, I'm sure I probably could, but I wouldn't want to.
Your
because,
mind just goes off.
Well, then it's just places, also like, then I'm going to be like, I'm dependent on that for all my shows.
Right, you know?
The worst thing that could happen is I have a great set. And a lot of times, like.
Oh, shit.
A lot of times,
you
smoke pot, you think you're doing better than you actually are, too.
Very true.
Or like, you think things are funnier than they actually are.
Well, see, but the beauty in sparring or wrestling or jiu-jitsu or whatever is like, the proof is there. If you're not doing as well as you think you are, you're not going to think you're doing well because you're getting your ass kicked. If you're kicking somebody's ass, then you're doing well. So it's like an immediate result.
So,
but yeah, I still don't recommend it to everybody.
To most people, I just can't recommend it. But yeah, some people. But I'm saying that certain people, like a Joe Schilling, can smoke cigarettes and have it not affect his cardio.
Right.
Which is still like insane to me. I mean, smoking cigarettes. You think it was like the one thing that would just destroy your cardio?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I knew, dude. When I was in the Marine Corps, like there was guys. We would do a quarterly PFT or a yearly, whatever it was, physical fitness test. And it's pull-ups, sit-ups, and a three-mile run. And there would be guys smoking, like, at the starting line of the run.
Really?
And, like, they say, you know, gun goes bang. They throw their smoke on the ground, stomp it out, go run 3 miles in 20 minutes, and then cross the finish line, immediately pull out another cigarette and start smoking. Like, what the fuck, man? So maybe it's, I mean, obviously it's terrible for you, but maybe if you're consistently working your lungs, it doesn't affect it as much.
There was a kid that I used to coach wrestling who, like, oh shit, I'm calling the wrong person, so I'm calling that kid again. There was a kid that I used to coach, and I, like, loved the kid, but he was such a wise guy. And he went to high school, and he was like, they were doing, like, sprints, and he goes, watch a pothead beat your entire team. And he did. He beat the entire team.
That's hilarious.
Like the first day. Of course, he, like, quit, like, a week later, but he did do that.
That's hilarious.
What's up, people? Sexual performance issues are way more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. That's too young for that stuff to have happening, right? And 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. Even the world's greatest actor can't fake one. And why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing? That's even the worst part, when they can turn instead to medicine and science. 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Listen, people, thanks to science, erectile dysfunction can be optional because Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Don't do that, all right? There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits, no lines. You could save hours by going to 4hims.com. It is so easy. And listen, severe ED isn't just an issue for rich old guys in bathtubs. It affects men in their 30s and 40s. It's erectile without the dysfunction. And you could try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/MMAroastED. That's forhims.com/MMAroastED. 4hims.com/MMAroasted. Check it out. Hey guys, Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive. They have a clear design with data presented in an easy to digest way. Yeah, and they got no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees, okay? They don't keep all of your profits. You learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feed. And they got custom notification for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Okay, their design is easy to use. Check them out. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at mmaroasted.robinhood.com. That's mmaroasted.robinhood.com. Check them out.
So we're calling Ricky Simone right now.
Hello?
Hello, is this Ricky Simone?
Hey, is it Adam?
Yeah, how's it going, man? I'm here with Tyler Smith. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
How's it going, brother?
Oh, what's up, guys?
How are you doing, man?
I'm good, besides being skinny.
Well, how much weight do you have to cut?
About 14 away right now, which isn't too bad. I'm hoping to diet off another couple before the water cut. And then, yeah, 135 is... I always say no man should weigh 135 pounds. So,
but and what did you start at?
You know, I usually walk around in the low 60s, but I'm a fat kid at heart, though. So out of camp, I tend to walk around a little bit heavier, but I've kind of dialed that in a little bit better. So,
wow,
not too bad anymore.
Damn, nice, man. That's crazy. But you've always been a wrestler, right? Weren't you a wrestler in high school and college too?
Yeah, no, I started wrestling when I was in elementary school, and then I wrestled throughout high school, and I didn't end up wrestling in college just because, you know, I had some injuries, you know, my senior year, and I got kind of salty towards wrestling, so I took my ball and went home.
Right. Now, who are you fighting, and when's this fight? Talk to me.
I am fighting number 15, Ronnie Yahya, February 9th on UFC 234.
Wow! That's gonna be a good fight. And where is that?
It's gonna be in I don't know how they pronounce it. I think it's Melbourne, Australia.
Wow,
Melbourne.
So when do you leave for Australia?
Sunday. I'm gonna take off Sunday. Give me about a week to kind of acclimate, get ready for the for the weight cut and all that.
Now, one of the funniest things, so you came to my show, I think it was right after your fight against Merab, that guy, whatever his last name is, Devalalshi.
Merab.
So, and I was talking to you afterwards, and I was like, yo, man, I've been a big fan of yours. And it's true, I used to watch you in your LFA fights and the guys you were knocking out, and you were like, yeah, those guys were a lot easier.
Surprisingly,
I'm like, that was hilarious. I've never had that kind of honesty though from a fighter, which was pretty damn cool.
I was on your I think your podcast when I fought for the I was gonna fight for the Titan title. I was on with Brett John.
So we
talked a while back.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And that dude's a tough guy, Brett Johns. Holy shit! I think he was on the same card to you in L.A. And he just got the shit beaten out of him, but he kept moving forward.
Yeah, dude, he's
on that LA card.
Yeah, that's a tough dude.
Now your first fight in, it was a weird fight. That guy was tough. That guy Merab was actually really tough, good wrestler, and you had him on his you had him submitted at like the end. It was like some weird choke. I think you had a guillotine choke, and then he kind of stayed afloat by like doing like a fake bicycle in the air. And I've never seen that before. And then they had you the winner, but then people started booing you because they thought he was still awake, but he wasn't. Tell me about that whole experience for you.
Yeah, you know that it was nuts. It was a crazy finish. Merab's he's obviously a very tough fighter, and I locked in that submission at the end there. Then I ended up basically turning it into like a Saturday Night Ride. You know, the same pinning combination I've been using in wrestling forever. You know, so it's kind of like a modified, like, crank and a guillotine. He went out a few different times and maybe was coming back too while he was in the choke. But when I let go and the ref called and I stood up, right above him, his eyes were rolled back and, you could even see his leg twitching a couple of times. So, I thought, I did what I had to do. He had his chance to put me out. He couldn't do it. I had my chance and I thought I did it. So, so that's how I thought it went.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it went. And the fans were getting mad at you. And I'm like, what the fuck are they even getting mad at you for? You just fought your ass off.
I mean, it looks like he was out on the takedown even.
Yeah, I think so. I think, the way how he shot in and the way I grabbed up the guillotine, he kind of got spiked a little bit. So, yeah I think that kind of was the first time he kind of went out.
But I hate when fans boo the person because the ref made a call they don't agree with or the judges. I'm like, what do you want from the fighter? Fucking fighter just did everything he's supposed to do.
Yeah, man. You know, there was a lot of shit going on into that fight. I had just fought a few weeks before, defended my LFA belt. And, I finally got the short notice call, and I couldn't say no to it. So, I took it and, I just got my first UFC win. And, it's like the moment I've always, dreamt of. And then, I look up and, fans are flipping me off and cussing at me. And I didn't care though. I just embraced it. And I just, I was like, bring it in. But, I was happy, it was a long journey and to be able to get that win and then get the bonus, it changed my life, after my first UFC fight. So, even though the fans weren't with me in that one, I'm hoping to, come back in this one and maybe win some over.
Well, your fights are always exciting. I mean, every single one of your fights is exciting. The fight I was at, your next fight in L.A., they put you up against this guy that was a monster. The guy never lost, Montel Jackson. And, like, you could just tell how Rogan and Cormier were like saying, oh, they were really praising this guy. It was, oh, this guy's the next big thing. The sky's the limit. And the first round was a little close. I rewatched today. Second round, you clearly won. Third round, you completely dominated this guy. But did you know going into the third round that you had to dominate him or they might give it to him?
You know, I feel like I'm explosive in the first and I'm dangerous in the first, but I feel like I get better as the fight goes on. You know, I feel like I'm able to, you know, wear out my opponents and you know, I knew it was close and I thought I was winning, but yeah, I knew with the with the dominant third round I was going to take the fight, and you know, I wanted to finish and I thought I had him in some, you know, positions where I could have finished, but man, he was tough. That was a tough dude, and you know, that reach and that size at the bantamweight division is a lot to deal with.
Well, they were saying
he's going to be good. He came back and dominated Brian Kelleher. You know, that kid's going to do just fine.
Right. They were saying his hands were bigger than Ngannou's.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was crazy. He was like gripping on my wrist, and I thought he was like holding my glove at first, but then I just realized that he was like just wrapping all the way around my arms. It was crazy. Yeah, he has some crazy grip strength, and his hands are huge, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bigger than Ngannou.
That's what they said. I'm not even joking. They said his hands are bigger than Ngannou's. I'm like, this guy's 135 pounds. Like, how does he have hands bigger than Ngannou's? And how big is his dick? If his hands are that big, I mean, like, that could be like Jesus Christ. It was crazy. I was like, holy shit. So now they got you against Ronnie Yahya. I don't know much about Ronnie Yahya. I've watched a bunch of his fights. Seems like he's very tricky. Like, he's got really good submissions, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I honestly feel like he's one of the best, you know, submission grapplers to ever do MMA. He's at least up there, you know, with the elite. So, yeah, he's very tricky. His last three wins have all been by submission. So, yeah, you know, it's gonna be a fun puzzle to solve.
Now, how do we do now? You're training for a guy who's obviously, you're saying, one of the best grapplers ever to do MMA. Do you go to a different camp? Do you bring in certain guys? How do you train for a guy like that?
You know, I've been training under Fabiano Scherner, who's, you know, multiple time world champion in jiu-jitsu, you know, so we've been working. I train at Gracie Baja Portland, so we have a bunch of people who can give me good looks, and they've been putting me in positions, and I've been having to fight out of them. But, you know, Ronnie has to get me there. He has to be able to take me down, you know, and, you know, I've been wrestling my entire life, you know, and, you know, he better not be able to take me down with that single leg he has. You know, I don't feel like he should be able to. I don't think he will be able to. So, you know, I'm going to put the sprawling brawl on him. I'm going to make him stand with me, and I feel like I'm going to be able to get that knockout.
Now, some of your fights, you get super angry and just start talking tons of shit during the fight. You're like, come on, motherfucker. Like, I think it was the Chico Camus fight, I think that one. Are we going to get into a war like that during this fight?
Man, I don't know. I don't know when that started. It's just like, actually, I do know. I first did that in my fifth fight against Jeremiah Laviano. And like, I don't know. I feel like I'm so tamed. I'm so tamed in the real world. And then when I get in there, I get to be an asshole and I get to be mean. And that's just how I feel in there. I love it. I love getting to yell at him across the cage if I see him starting to get tired and all that. So yeah, you know, if I start to see some wear and tear on my body, I'm gonna yell.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, man, I love the passion. It fires me up, especially because you back it all up. Now, when I met you last time, you had a girlfriend that was smoking hot. You guys seemed like you were in love. Is it your wife now or your girlfriend? What's going on?
After that last win, you know, I popped that question at the after party. You know, we've been she was actually a stat girl on my high school wrestling team, so we've been together forever. She's been with me through this, you know, entire MMA journey before I even, you know, thought I was going to be a fighter. So, you know, it was about time. I think it was about time. So, yeah, we're getting married in June, and I'm excited.
Nice. You banged the stat girl on the wrestling team. Wow. Now, was every guy in the team going for her, or it was like, did people know that was like your girl?
No, we were dating in, like while we were in high school, it was like right after. So, but yeah, they were. I think you know how wrestlers are. They're all dogs, so they're all after.
So she's seen you with like cutting weight dick too. So if a girl sees you with that,
yeah, embarrassing.
Yeah. So if a girl can stay with you during cutting weight dick, then she's the one. So good for you.
That's facts right there, yeah.
I think if a girl can stay with you during cutting weight,
yeah,
she's the one.
Yeah, yeah, he's yeah. That's crazy, dude. My stat girl. I remember when I was in high school, I got impetigo, and I went to I had nationals coming up. I went to 10 different doctors. Nobody can cure it. Her acne was so bad. Her acne cream was the only thing that actually cured my impetigo. So thank you, Stephanie, if you're listening to this, for doing that. That was very nice of you. So now, does your girl want to have kids?
Well, she's I got a good one. She's super smart. You know, she's in her master's program right now. She's very ambitious and she has goals. You know, so she wants kids, but not anytime soon. I think we're finally in a good spot where we can kind of enjoy ourselves, you know, and live it up a little bit. So we're going to do that before we have any kids, you know.
Now, do you have to have a day job still, or are you just training full time?
Man, I train full time. That's it. You know, I've been running a middle school wrestling program for 9 years now.
Nice.
Besides coaching on the side and stuff like that, you know, I'm just fighting. I'm finally, you know, in that spot, you know, luckily with, you know, that first win and then getting the bonus and then getting that last win. And then I just re-signed a 4-fight contract and my pay went up again for this fight. So, you know, right as of right now, I'm just living that professional fighter life, you know.
Well, you deserve it, man. I mean, you came up the hard way. You are, you know, your record's what, 12-1 now or something? It's some kind of insane number.
14-1.
I mean, you fought killers. Even in the guys you fought in the LFA, you had no easy fights.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a tough road, man. When I was going into that, after I beat Chico, I thought I was going to do it. You know, I had a 5-round war with him. I thought I showed everything, you know. I thought he was on a 4-fight win streak. You know, and I broke that. So, I mean, I thought that was going to be the fight, and it wasn't. So, going into that title defense, I was like, I was almost ready to call it quits. You know, and then I get that first round knockout and get the call while I'm still in the cage. So, it's kind of it worked out perfectly.
That's good, man. You're a nice guy. And Ronnie Yaya, just don't – man, I'm excited for this fight. This is great because you're right. He has to get you down. But you're also what? Are you a black belt in jiu-jitsu?
No, I'm a purple belt.
Purple belt. All right. That's good. A purple belt under what's his name? It's probably a black belt or a brown belt and other hands. So my man Tyler Smith, he's my co-host. He has a fight coming up in 3 weeks, his third amateur fight. He's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. He's got good striking and good wrestling. Any advice for him?
Who's that?
The other guy on the podcast.
Me.
Tyler Smith.
Oh, okay, sorry. It's already a brown belt. At this point, you just need that, like I always say for my wrestlers, that mat time, you know, that experience in the cage is gonna be important. So, you know, just that's it. To be able to, you know, slow that. And I think the hardest thing once you get in there is being able to kind of slow yourself down a little bit and not, you know, your reactions down, being able to
totally.
You know, feel the moment and not just go to what you're good at, you know, know the positions and yeah. So you're at a perfect point where you just need to, you know, the experience is key.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough because the AMIs are 2-minute rounds, you know, so you kind of have no choice but to go in there and just throw down, but
yeah. 2 minutes. Dang.
2 minutes. Yep.
That's not enough time to do anything. Yeah,
exactly.
Never mind.
It's enough time to bite down and swing.
Fuck. So, are you rooting for Kelvin Gastelum or Robert Whittaker?
I got to root for Kelvin. I like his style. I feel like we kind of even have a similar style, you know. So, I like the guy. So, I'm gonna root for Kelvin.
And then, who else is on the card?
We got Anderson Silva and Israel Adesanya.
Ooh.
That is
co-main, so that's gonna be awesome too.
Who are you rooting for there?
Such a banger.
I think I want to go with the prospect because I'm in a similar situation. You know, you got the kind of the gatekeeper against the upcoming prospect. So I think Israel's been looking. He looked badass in that Brunson fight. So I think it'll be an awesome fight. But I think I'm gonna go with Izzy.
So you're leaving on Sunday. You said Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday.
So you're gonna get there Monday or even Tuesday. Do they put you up for the whole week?
Yeah, they're gonna put me up for the whole week, and you know, I got my team flying out. I got two teammates coming with me, and then my coaches will get there Thursday. My fiance will get there Saturday, and then you know, even after the fight, I'm gonna stay another like 5 or 6 days and enjoy it. You know, getting to go to Australia. This is what it's all about: getting to travel and do what I love. So I'm definitely gonna take advantage of that. You know, the UFC will extend the flight, so I was like, why not? Let you know, extend my flight out a week, and I'll you know, treat myself and my girl, and you know, enjoy this, because this is, you know, camp sucks. You know, it's fun. I'm training all day. I'm beat up. I'm skinny. So yeah, I'm gonna enjoy it.
So you've been with her since high school. So she's the only girl you ever slept with?
Well, yeah, since high school, yeah. I mean,
trap him.
I definitely went through some phases in high school, you know. But I mean, yeah, I've been living a tamed life.
Good for you, man.
Which is probably good because I don't even know where I'd be if I have her out here taming me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, also, look, sometimes you know what you want. She obviously has like the perfect vagina for you. You know, sometimes you just know it later on in life. Sometimes you know it earlier. So you knew it right away, man. So good for you. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Awesome.
That's
awesome. Yeah, thanks.
I mean, my wife has a great vagina as well, but it took me a while. It took me a while to find it, you know? Sometimes you find things earlier, sometimes later. So good. I'm happy. Maybe later we can exchange. Hey, wow. I'm kidding. Anyway, so God. Listen. Well, listen, my man, Ricky Simone. Is it Simon or Simone?
Simone, yeah. Thanks for getting that right.
But by the way, how many Simones are there? I feel like your mom and dad follow me on Twitter. Like, are you brothers that fight too?
So I have a cousin. I have two cousins that are pro fighters. One of them actually just got signed to the UFC as well. His name's Vince Morales. But then I got a bunch of brothers. I got four brothers. Yeah, that probably all follow you on Twitter and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, because I was looking, I was trying to find you, and I'm like, how many Simones are there? Like, how many kids did your parents have?
Too many. Yeah. I grew up with three brothers, and then my mom remarried and had another son and a daughter. So I have four brothers and a sister.
Nice. And then your cousin just got signed to the UFC?
Yeah, and he's in my division too. He's a bantamweight as well. So we train together all the time, and we're always talking shit to each other. You can see him on my we're always like trolling each other on Twitter.
Would you fight him?
But
would you fight your cousin?
What was that?
Would you fight the cousin if the money was right? Would you fight him?
I always say no, hell no, but then he always says yes. And I don't know if he's fucking with me or what.
I mean, why not?
People ask us that all the time, and I'm always like, no, no way. And he's like, yeah, I would.
What a dick. That's hilarious.
I know, right?
That's hilarious.
What an asshole.
Now, in your last fight, by the way, you had the rear naked choke a bunch of times, and the other guy just, like, turned you over. What happened there?
I think I was going a little bit. I think I was just kind of hunting the submission a little bit too quick, not establishing the position. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of had the choke in. I had his back one time, but I didn't have my hooks right. You know, and Montel's a great wrestler too. I think he was a match away from making the Olympic team. I think he was. I mean, he's been, you know, he's a great wrestler as well. People were kind of dogging on his wrestling after that, but you know, MMA wrestling and straight wrestling is a lot different. So, yeah. You know, like I said, I think Montel's great. He's going to do great too. So, but yeah, like I said, I thought I had him in some positions that I normally get people in, then they don't get out. You know, I had double leg rides in, I had him flattened out. But, you know, he just, like, just with his hands, his grip, he'd go 2-on-1, and, like, I couldn't even get my arms back. It was weird.
A couple times, he kicked you, and you just got angry and started beating the shit out of him. Like, I was, like, it was almost like he kicked you or landed a punch, and the announcers were like, ooh! But you didn't even feel it. You just, like, got angry and went back harder.
Yeah, that's my style. I don't know. I really feel like you got to put me away to beat me, you know. So and I feed off the crowd too sometimes. Maybe sometimes they'll fault, but I love it. That's just my attitude, and I've shown that in there.
That's awesome. Well, listen, Ricky, good luck, man. Where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
Ricky Simone UFC on Instagram and Twitter, and I have a fan page on Facebook, just Ricky Simone.
Well, good luck, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Yeah, heck yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Hey, good luck, man.
All right,
that was Ricky Simone. I like that kid. What a little badass fighter, huh?
He's a great fighter and very, very cool, very composed, really articulate. Like,
guy has a,
he's going to go places.
Guy has a, fights a guy that's 135, has bigger fists than Ngannou. Like, is that crazy?
Crazy.
Like, it's crazy. I mean, I don't even know what I would do if a guy grabbed me and I look at his hands. Like, I'm like, I'd be like, is this a joke? Like, I would, I'd be looking for like, for the, is this like one of those like, you know, like those magic things where the guy has like fake hands or something?
We have one of our our black belts, our Aloysio Silva black belts. He's a construction worker by day, Brazilian guy, but he just like, he grabs you and it's, his hands aren't that big, but that like, once he grabs you, that's it. Like, you're not peeling those hands off.
There was a, I remember I used to go to Legends, and I was like one of the few guys that wrestled in high school and college. And I didn't wrestle for college very long, but you know, I always felt like I was like, oh, I was the wrestler there. You know, like oh, Adam's the wrestler. You know, like when they wanted Dan Hardy to train, they told me to go with Dan Hardy. They're like, he needs to work on his wrestling. Work with Dan Hardy. And one day I get there, and fucking Eric Bradley was there. This kid who took second in the country, or second or third at Penn State.
Oh yeah, and, yeah.
And he's a guy that like I think was like a what if kind of kid. Like he didn't, I think he was on Fight Master, and, yeah. but never like never achieved what he could have in the sport. Right. You know, if I'm just being frank. But when I wrestled this kid, it was like there's nothing I can do to him. Yeah. Like there's nothing. Like he's better than me everywhere. I don't know how I could. Maybe there was like sometimes I'll just throw like a Japanese whizzer just to surprise somebody, you know. But there was no throwing Japanese whizzers.
Yeah, there was no nothing.
Fuck, man. Have you ever rolled with someone like that?
Yes, plenty of times. Where it's just like the same guy I was telling you about, Hinaldo. We were doing like drills last night. We were doing drills from side control, like start in side control and get to mount, you know, top person either get to mount or submit from side control, bottom person back to half guard or full guard or whatever. 10 seconds. And he has me back in his full guard. Or has me swept, or has me in a leg lock. Like
when I went to Henzo, Gracie's, I went with this brown belt, this Asian dude that like on the feet I was taking him down and stuff, but then we were like starting in rear naked choke position.
Yeah.
And he got me every time. But then I would start and he got out every time.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was trying to explain to me that like I was just trying to like just grab down. He said put your elbow up. Yeah. And like,
well, like Hickson would do that. There's like, you know, the legend of Hickson is like he would have world class black belts start with the choke in, like fully locked in, you know, arm across the neck, hand behind the head. And he'd get out.
How?
Like, I don't know, because he's Superman.
I mean, but not Hickson.
If I knew, I'd be Hickson.
But what was that other guy doing to me to get out? Like, it's just all technique, right? Or just
It's knowing exactly when to do what, and like, you know, peel the hand and turn the head and get the legs free from the hooks all at the same time, and like,
so frustrating. I mean, it's what you need to be doing, obviously, to get better. But
well, yeah,
it's like
nobody wants to train those positions, and that's why the guys at Henzo's and the Danaher Death Squad are who they are. Because nobody wants to start. Okay, you have a full choke. Let's see if I can get out. Like, it's not fun, you know.
Well, wrestling, that's how we like one guy's on his back as a half Nelson. Yeah. But that's what it is. I mean, that's how you get better in everything. In anything, is put yourself in bad situations. Exactly. Even like sometimes, like not to say comedy wise, but like, you know, you put yourself in a bad spot to get out of it. Right. Like sometimes I would say things that I'm like I know this joke's gonna piss everyone off, but just to see how I can get out of it. And that's the difference between like good and great.
Yeah.
You know, but also with comedy, people always ask me, "Oh, I want to do comedy, but I'm not ready, or I don't have my stuff yet." But I don't want to. I'm like, dude, it's like saying I want to be a black belt, but I don't want to ever get tapped.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. You think there's ever been a black belt in the history of black belts that's never been tapped once?
No.
Never, right?
Never. Not if they're training right.
There's not one guy that just...
I mean, maybe one of those fake black belts.
Well, that's how I fucked up my... That's like, how I fucked up my knee was that... I read Phil Davis in an interview say, sometimes I'll go to class and I'm like, no one submitted me today. And then I tried that and then my knee popped. So...
Yeah, but there's like a different... Like, saying no one submitting me today doesn't mean I'm not going to tap when they have submissions on. I'm not going to let anybody even get close enough
to throw a submission.
I know.
I'm not letting people pass my guard.
I know. I really wish you would have elaborated on that.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I actually told him that when I like saw him. And he was like, he
you
was
got
like,
my laughing. Knee fucked up.
Yeah, I know. I was like, by the way, there's a guy, Phil Davis, who I think is the most underrated fighter. The people don't talk about him, and I feel like they should. You know,
he's so good.
He lost his last fight in Israel, but it was a fight that you could have given him the fight. It was just against a really good guy. I forgot the guy's name. The guy's like 14-1. And the guy took him down. That was the crazy part. But Phil didn't use his wrestling until the third period. It was one of those fights where even I think Big John McCarthy was like, what is he doing? Why is he not?
I forgot.
The guy's good,
though.
You
know, you see it happen all the time with jiu-jitsu guys. Like, Roy Nelson is the perfect example. World-class jiu-jitsu black
belt. Beat Frank Mir.
Yeah. Beat Frank Mir at like, Grappler's Quest. And then, you know, knocks one guy out, and all of a sudden it's, oh. I want to knock people out now. I like standing.
Now, do you think it's like a lazy thing?
No, I think it's like, you know, you can get it done on the ground. So the real test is, let's see if we can get it done on the feet.
Yeah, but at a certain
point, at a certain point, if you're going to lose, like, why not just go to where you know you're good?
Do you think also, though, guys stop training? They're like, oh, I'm good enough in wrestling. I don't have to keep training anymore.
Definitely.
Now, is that, you think, a coach's responsibility to tell the guy, like,
yes,
hey, it is,
it's
right?
Absolutely a coach's responsibility. Because if a fighter is dictating what he's going to do, then why have the coach?
That's one thing about Anthony Smith. I heard him on some interview, and he was talking about how I'm going to do whatever the coaches tell me for John Jones.
Yeah.
Like, they have, which I thought was...
Which is weird, because then you have someone like Amanda Nunes, for all intents and purposes, is like, she does all her own, like...
Hello, is this Devontae Smith? Hello?
Oh, shit. Ooh, yeah, it's hot.
Hey.
Yeah, this is Devontae.
What's up? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. Adam Hunter and Tyler Smith. How are you, man?
What's up, man?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was watching some of your fights, man. Whoa, that last fight was insane. That was awesome.
Thank you.
You knocked the guy out.
I appreciate that.
What was it, like 30 seconds? It was a clean 1-2 punch.
46. It was 46 seconds.
Wow. I mean, that was just, and it wasn't a haymaker or a crazy, you know, right. It was a straight left, right. It was awesome.
Yes, yes. That's all you need.
The basics.
The one and the two.
Now,
big.
Yeah. Now, were you nervous at all going up against Julian Arosa?
No. I mean, it's just another day. I was just excited to fight in front of the big crowd. Like, I've always, like, had this envision. This dream to, like, hear the crowd screaming your name, cheering you on, you know. Because I was in high school looking up highlights, you know. When I was supposed to be studying and stuff, I was on a computer looking at Anderson Silva, Chuck Liddell, Quentin Rampage, and, you know, just seeing the glory and, you know, taking it all in. I just wanted to fight. It got to the point that I think it was fight day, and I just started getting too hyped that my teammates, and my coaches was like, they were like, dude, sit down, chill. You got a couple more hours, man. I just wanted to fight.
Now, what's your background as far as martial arts goes?
Background as in, what do you mean?
Like wrestling, boxing, jiu-jitsu?
I boxed when I was in sixth grade because I used to get in a lot of fights, but I always would fight people bigger than me. And I guess my mom got tired of that. But I only did it for like 2 months. Then I wrestled in high school all 4 years. So that was my way of getting out my aggression without getting in trouble.
And how did you do wrestling wise?
Oh, I was great. I think I was ranked 13th in the state. I don't know if I was as a junior or a senior, but I cracked under pressure. As a senior, you know, I didn't really have the right coaches, the right teammates around me, you know. Not blaming them, but then, you know, that for me to be so young and having negative people around you who saying you can't do something. And, you know, I mean, I've grown out of that, but I cracked under pressure. But I used to use that as motivation to, you know what, because I know how great I am. And so I don't let other people's opinion get to me.
Yeah, yeah. So then after you finished wrestling in high school, did you wrestle in college at all? Or did you go to college?
No, I ain't want to do that. I ain't want to do that. Because the way they worked you in high school, woo, I heard it was harder. And they said it's like a job. And I'm like, nah. Like, I wanted to do it, you know, because I wanted to go the route of college. You know how it is. Your family, after high school, you go to college, you get a degree, you know, and you just work. I tried the college move for like a year and some change. It just wasn't for me.
And then,
you know, I didn't want to do it anymore. And I was doing it while I was training and working at the same time, and something had to give. So yeah, I was like, nah, this school stuff ain't for me.
And you grew up in Colorado?
No. I grew up in Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland.
I just trained in Colorado.
How'd you end up in Colorado?
After my first pro loss against John Gunther, I met a guy named Brian Rogers. He was the main event. I was the co-main event. And after my loss and after his win, you know, he kind of pulled me to the side and talked to me. He was like, man, you're a great fighter. Don't let this slow you down. You know, after a loss, you ain't trying to hear all that. But he told me about Factory X out in Colorado. And he said, it's a great, great bunch of people out there. Great coach, Mark Montoya. I always wanted to go after that, but I didn't have the cash flow, you know. So some things happened as I was working. And, some things. Hey, I'm here, Leo. It's me, Leo. Don't bite me, Leo. I'm sorry. but long story short, my last day working was I found out that a guy that was working there for 2 weeks was getting paid a lot more than me, and I was working there for 2 years, and he knew nothing and did nothing. And for that type of disrespect, I just quit that job and took my 401k and the money I had in there. I just took my shot and, you know, went to Colorado, had a whole week out here, and, you know, the different skill level, the pressure that I was getting out here, you know, I was actually losing. You know, people were actually making me I had to work for the win, and I didn't get that in Ohio. I didn't get that pressure. You know, people were actually scared to go against me, you know, or tell me not to hit too hard, or, you know, they were just timid. But when I came out here, I went against fighters.
Right.
You know, people who wouldn't back down just because they got hit too hard. They just smiled and pushed forward. And I love that. And, you know, ever since then, I believe, I know I've grown a lot since I've been out here.
Now, was that the same Brett Rogers that fought Fedor back in the day?
I don't know. Did he?
A huge black guy with like a mohawk.
I don't know if he fought him. Yeah, he got he had locks.
Yeah, huge black guy. He like Brett Rogers. He was the man. But then I heard like he kind of went nuts or something. Like, or he had some tough times, right?
I don't know. I forgot what he does now. But whatever he do, it's working for him. So.
Oh, good. All right, I'm happy for that. So now you're in Colorado. You go out there. You're by yourself. I mean, was it hard to make friends at first? I mean, was it how are the chicks? You probably got more girls in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different environment out here, and I mean that in the most positive way. You know, when I was out in Cleveland, you know, if you're the new guy in the gym, you just feel that everybody want to go against you feeling. You know, it's that nitty gritty, you know, type of feeling. But when I came out here and out here in Colorado, it was a whole different feeling. People would come up to me and say hello, introduce themselves. Like, I feel like people were coming out after me. right. you know, which was weird because I was the one kind of like, me, mother, because, you know, what I was used to, you know, that Cleveland mentality. But, you know, everybody was really cool out here. It hasn't ever really been hard for me to make friends, but, you know, for the people and for the fighters here to be so accepting so quickly of someone new to come to the gym, it was just a great fit.
Now, were you in Cleveland? Were you training at Stipe Miocic's gym?
No. I trained at the gym. My first gym was out in Twinsburg. I think it's called Title now, but it was called Brick House when I first started fighting. And then after there, I left that gym, and I went to a gym called Evolve MMA. I trained to fight there. I trained and fought there for like, I think it was like 4 or 5 years. Outgrew them, you know, had some personal problems, but that's neither here nor there. And trained on my own for a whole year until I made that move to come to Colorado.
But now, okay, so now you're with Killers. Like, by the way, how's Anthony Smith look?
Is it how what?
How's Anthony Smith look? Lionheart.
How the technique look?
No, how does Anthony Smith, the guy who's fighting John Jones?
Oh yeah, man, he looks amazing, man. He's a great guy. He actually helps me with a lot of things. He's a very, very humble guy. I mean, he's ready to take off, give John Jones the biggest L, and you know, nothing but positivity.
I mean, what do you think? You think he's got a shot at beating him?
Right. I mean, what else would I think? I mean, do you think he's going to try to beat him?
Yes, I'm putting money on him. I honestly think he's going to beat John Jones.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a squad. So, of course, man, he ain't doing this for fun. I mean, he knows he's going to be a very dangerous guy.
Now, is there any way that you could, like, you know, here's what we do, right? You go up to John the night before, give him some cocaine, right? all night long.
They just cleared him, by the way. They just gave him his license.
Yeah, all right, cool. Yep. Party with him all night. Get some hookers, some blow. Make sure he's got nothing, you know, have him come in tired. And then Anthony comes out and just knocks him out. What do you say? Who's in?
No. I feel like Anthony don't even need, you know, John Jones would come in. I feel like Anthony would love for him to come in. The best John Jones.
Yeah,
I feel like he's that kind of guy.
You know?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he wants to fight the best John Jones there is.
So you,
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So are you training with my man Chris Camozzi?
Yeah. He's been helping me a lot in a major way when it comes to kickboxing. You know, veterans showing the younger guys how to do things and, you know, just their opinion or, you know, correcting some technique here and there. So, cool guy.
I like it. I like how you told Dana White what took you so long. That was hilarious. That was so funny, man. Like, that was like, I was like, this guy, you got it, man. This guy is the limit. So who are you fighting next?
I think his name is Dong Young Ma. Yeah, he changed his name to Ma. And, I think he's from South Korea. At first, I thought they meant Dong Young Kim, the welterweight.
Yeah.
The one who fought Tyron Woodley.
Right.
I was like, I'm cool. I was like, God damn, that worked, bro. He's a welterweight.
And
he's coming down to 55.
And when and where is this fight?
February 9th in Australia, Melbourne.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this going to be your first time in Australia?
This is going to be my first time out the country.
Ooh, wow. And are you single?
No, I ain't single.
I was going to say, because those women are going to be all over you.
Yeah, Australia is definitely the place to be as a single man.
Yeah.
Nah, man, be like that sometimes. I'm going to be like, nah, man, I appreciate it, though.
How long have you had a girlfriend for? You have a wife or a girlfriend?
I got me started, man. You putting me on the spot. I got a girl.
How long?
Dang, man, he won't know about my fight.
Have you never listened to this podcast? He has everybody this.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how long you had this girl.
Man, we've been together for a while, man. We
nice.
Did that.
And what does she look like? Asian, white, black?
These some awkward questions, man. She's a black girl.
she's a black girl, is that?
Nice. Yeah, she's a black girl.
There you go. I like it. And then she's with you. Is she coming with you to Australia?
Nah, she ain't got no passport. Plus, I'm not really too big on bringing loved ones on the trip because, you know, it's business, you know. And my mentality should stay as a warrior and murder and whatever, like, my mindset goes. You know, I don't like to have that lovey-dovey feeling. Like, yeah. I get the lovey-dovey feeling, like, after the win.
Right. I like it, man. I think you're going to be, I think the sky's the limit. Now, as far as jiu-jitsu go, are you a certain belt? Are you a brown belt or black belt or blue belt?
I feel like I'm maybe purple or brown at the very, very, very least. I don't know, truthfully. I mean, I'm a blue belt, but that's only because I don't do gi. And the old gym I was at, I feel like you just gave me a blue belt because I beat up a purple belt in a fight.
Right.
So I don't even take it serious, but I don't really care for stuff like that, too.
But I mean, look, you got great wrestling, you got amazing striking, mm-hmm. you got good jujitsu, mm-hmm. very athletic. Mm-hmm. You're tall. You're like what, 6'4"? Mm-hmm. How tall are you?
5'9", 5'10" on a good day.
All right, 5'10", 155 pounds. And you're 9-1. You did lose to John Gunther. How did that happen?
It just happened, man. I didn't know people can take hits like that. You know?
Yeah.
It threw me off. And he kept taking me down in a weird way that I wasn't really used to. You know, because I'm really good on takedown defense, especially on the cage. But he was doing something, and I kept falling down, and my mindset was really on what is happening.
Yeah.
I was very confused. And, like, I would get up, you know, like, whatever it is, what it is, you know, just get up. I get up, and I crack him, and, you know, he would still be like, because it's like he wasn't all the way there. He just wouldn't go to sleep. Yeah. He just wouldn't go to sleep.
Yeah, there's something. And, there's something. Know? Yeah,
some guys are just like that.
And the guy, the guy shaves animals for a living or something. He seems like a real nice guy. Watch him in Ultimate Fighter. He seemed like a really like an off but like sweet guy, but he has that like farm boy strength, you know.
No, it's not even that. It wasn't that he was strong. He didn't feel strong at all to me. He was just, man. He just wouldn't.
He's got the Punisher chin.
You know what?
He got the Punisher chin.
Yeah, I don't know. He just wouldn't go to sleep. But, you know, all in all, it was one of the best things. So it was the best thing that could happen to my career. You know, because of that loss, you know, I got to see who was really with me. You know, I got to see, you know, where I was really at. Because I took the fight serious. I took the fight very serious. I take every fight serious. I don't care if it's a guarantee I'm going to win. I still treat every fight as if it's a championship fight.
Yep.
And, you know, and I want the biggest thing I gained from that loss was experience. I mean, you know, I found out, you know, people that I called brothers really wasn't with me. You know, my coach wasn't with me. You know, he was like one of the main people making fun of me, you know. Which is sad, but it is what it is. You know, it's all a building and experience, you know, thing. But, you know, from then on out, that pushed me to go to Florida to go train with the Black Zillions, whatever their name was at that time. And I got to see what some real fighters were like, you know. And me seeing, like, who was really with me, it pushed me to, like, separate myself from those people. You know, because the people who made fun of me and laughed at me and ha ha hee hee and this and that, they still working 9-to-5.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
You know, who laughing now? Like, I ain't, you know, and I don't fight for it. I, in a sense, I used to fight for that just to prove them wrong. But I don't fight for that no more. You know, it's, but it's funny when I think about it. I don't think about it no more because it is what it is. I'm doing great things. I'm by nothing but positive people. I'm nothing but, you must be up with this interview. you know, my dude Yusuf is being goofy in the background. But
that's my little baby. My little baby.
Yeah. Huh?
That's my little baby.
Who's that? Sadiq?
So,
Sadiq Yusuf?
Oh, Sadiq's in the background. Sadiq's there? You got Sadiq with you?
Yeah, Yusuf.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, Sadiq, yeah.
Oh, tell him I said hello.
I love you.
Adam Hunter.
What's your name again?
I heard him.
Adam Hunter from MMA Roasted. He came on the podcast. He's the one that has 47 brothers and sisters, right?
I'm gonna put you on speaker. Hold on.
Yeah. Sadiq.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? You came on the podcast too. Remember, I talked about how you have 87 brothers and sisters, and how on like Mother's Day you got to buy everyone gifts. Sadiq.
He said how he was talking about how you had 87 brothers and something about
Mother's Day
gift.
No, he's telling you
this is
the law.
Yo, it's the law, not Sadiq.
Oh, who's this?
Sadiq Yusuf.
Is this Sadiq Yusuf?
Yeah, this is the law. Yeah, that's his last name. It's the law.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Sadiq just got another fight too, huh?
I feel the same excitement.
I don't think it's Sadiq Yusuf.
No.
Anyway.
You what?
Anyway, listen. Good luck in this fight. I can't wait to watch it. You're going to knock somebody out. You're going to knock out some tough Korean guy. It's going to be good. I can't wait.
I appreciate it, man. I can't wait to fly down and get the flight over with.
Yes.
And really experience a different culture, a whole other side of the world. You know, I'm avoiding spiders and sharks and crocodiles and jellyfish. Other than that, man, I can't wait to, you know, just it's summertime over there, so I'm excited.
Now, if you see Rowdy Beck, stay away from her. Okay, she's a very hot girl, but she's very flirty, and you might get sucked into that.
Right.
Okay, so but you know, make sure you stay away from Rowdy Beck. Very hot, flirty girl.
You try to get me in trouble.
Good fighter too.
Okay, you try to get me in trouble. All
yeah, of course, right. Of course. Well, thanks for being on the podcast, and take care, my friend.
Thank you for having me on the YouTube, bro.
Anytime. All right. I don't think that was. I think it was somebody else.
No, I don't think that was Sadiq Yusuf.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Sadiq.
Yeah, I think it was somebody else. But Sadiq's got a lot of brothers and sisters. Anyway, I like that guy. That guy's got a good attitude.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's funny.
I'm looking forward now, February 9th.
That's a good card, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a really good card.
I like watching these guys more than like because I like
some of the big super
yeah players. Yeah yeah.
The up and comer well the up and comers are always it's like watching college football versus pro football, you know, like they're working for it, they're yeah. really working for it.
Yeah yeah exactly.
So it's fun to watch those guys.
Sometimes it's like watching the feature versus the headliner. Sometimes the feature yeah, wants to blow exactly. them out. Yeah.
What was the card? I think UFC was it UFC 199 was the LA card where the very first fight of the night was like. An insane 3-round war got fight of the night.
And that, like, was, that, nobody, was, that was his fight, wasn't it?
Nobody was there. No, UFC 199.
Oh, back in the day.
Yeah, way back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you got coming up, Tyler? Where can people sponsor you, watch your fight, talk
about it? You can find me on Instagram, SmitheroBJJ, SmitheroBJJ. I don't really use Facebook, never really on Twitter, so don't worry about that. Come take a class with me Tuesday and Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. I'm teaching in the gi, jiu-jitsu, at Braxton's Combat Sports in Venice. And I got a fight, Epic 41, San Diego, February 22nd.
So if I want to go to that, how do I get tickets?
You can DM me. DM me on Instagram for tickets.
Yes. This Friday night, I'll be in Treasure Island Casino with Jeremy Piven in Las Vegas. Treasure Island Casino... with Jeremy Piven, Friday night. If you're ever in LA, I'm at the Dime Bar every single Tuesday at the Dime Bar in Hollywood. Go to adamhunter.com. Also, if you shop on Amazon, go to adamhunter.com first. Click on the banner, then buy whatever you want. I'm in the Comedy Hideaway February 16th in Santa Barbara. the wine cellar in Apple Valley. Then in March, I'm at the Dirty at 30 at the South Point, March 1st. And the San Manuel Casino, March 13th. And at the Reno Laugh Factory, March 19th to the 24th. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. And take care. Bye.